and welcome to pod 43 of the official Palace pod. I'm Christopher Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the official Palace app, eagles.cbfc.co.uk, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat. Dom, have I forgotten any social media channels?
I wasn't really listening.
Oh, TikTok. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one day. We'll be on TikTok. Right, yeah, so what have we got on today's podcast? We finish off, as always, with Roy Hodgson's press conference. We've got the weekly chat. Well, not weekly, because we missed a few, but we've got the regular chat with Statman. We talk to a man who has scaled the heights of football. But first, before all that, our top scorer this season, Jordan Ayew, sat down with Premier League Productions.
Well, Jordan, thanks for joining us. Obviously, your second year with Palace. How do you feel generally about your progression and your performance so far this season?
Well, first of all, I think I'm trying to do my best, like I've always tried to do. I'm working really, really hard. Things have gone started the way maybe no one really expected me. I really expected it to be a better season than last season for me. But obviously, people didn't. So, like I said, I'll just keep on working hard. And like I said, hopefully it's just the beginning of the season. There's more important games coming ahead of us, and I just need to keep going and keep working hard.
And you've obviously had some great moments already, some big goals, Man United, Arsenal. How do those moments change you as a player in terms of confidence and things like that?
Well, it gives you obviously confidence for the future. It gives you more belief in yourself, and I think I'm lucky to have had that quick goals in the beginning of the season. So, like I said, I'll just keep on working hard, and hopefully I can make people score, make my teammates score, or get more goals into it.
And you've been shortlisted for the African Player of the Year award. What does that mean to you? What did it feel like to find that out, and what would it mean to you and to Ghana to win?
Well, I'm really, really honoured. I'm proud. It shows that hard work's paid off, because last season wasn't a good year at all. Like I said, started for the African Cup, did a good African Cup of Nations, brought it into this season, continuing with Crystal Palace, and things is going positively, and hopefully it stays that way. But like I said, I'm happy for myself, I'm happy for my family, I'm happy for the people who always believed in me. So, like I said, it's just short list, but it's just a sign that I'm improving and I need to keep working hard to keep on moving forward.
Crystal Palace as a team seems to be a lot more confident this year. Why would you say that is, and are there much bigger expectations on the team this year?
Well, I think because we got some good wins and we did really, really well. The last few games we didn't get points, but I think the performances were good. So like I said, we just need to keep working hard and keep on doing what to do best is to play our game, and obviously to win games. And now we're having games that we need to get points, and we'll try our best to get maximum of points.
Zaha said after the last game against Liverpool that if you continue to play like that, Palace as a team, that you will win more games than you lose. What did you think of what he said and reflection on that game?
Well, I think it's true. I think he's right. I think the last game was really, really positive. And we just need to keep on, we've set the standard, so we just need to keep going.
And what's it been like for you to play alongside Zaha? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you learn a lot from him. You've also had to step up in moments when he's been less prominent. What's it been like for you?
No, obviously he's a very good friend of mine. Wolf, Christian, and some other people are really, really good friends. So There's just think positive things and you can feel it on the pitch, and it happens naturally on the pitch.
Do you learn a lot from him on and off the pitch?
Obviously, we're good friends, so obviously we try to have this connection on the pitch and off the pitch as well. So, yeah, obviously, we're just good friends.
So looking at this next run of fixtures, obviously, you know, you've stayed in a reasonable place in the league because of some early good results, but does there feel like an extra pressure perhaps leading into this next run of more manageable games? And what do you think Palace needs to focus on?
We just need to focus on ourselves because we need to get points on the board, and obviously we were capable of because we showed it, and we just need to get points. That's the most important thing, points. So now we have games that we have to get points to, I think, Christmas or after Christmas, a bit after Christmas, and we'll do our best to get the maximum of points we can get.
Does it feel like perhaps there's an extra fire under Palace going into this game on Saturday against Burnley? Palace has beaten Burnley the last three times, but really needs a good result right now.
Obviously, we need a good result, but we just go there and do our best and try to get the maximum of points we can get. That's either 3 or 1 point, but we'll do our best.
They're coming off 2 clean sheets. So in terms of their confidence, their defensive abilities, what do you think Palace needs to focus on to do well?
Just need to focus on ourselves and do our jobs, and we'll see after the game. But I think it's going to be a really, really tough game, so, yeah.
As a team, what do you expect them to bring?
Obviously, we know them. It's going to be crosses. They're going to bring crosses in because they have two good strikers up front, and they're going to be dangerous. So they have that way of playing. We have our way of playing, and I think we'll cause them problems, they'll cause us problems, and it's going to be an open game.
It's mostly a healthy squad from Palace at the moment. Obviously, you know, there's a couple of possibilities, but in general, it seems that all the team are pretty healthy. How does that affect the dynamic amongst you all, competition for places in the lineup?
Well, I think everyone wants to play, and obviously it's the manager who has the final decision. So as players, we just try to do our best for the squad, and it's good because it pushes everyone to his best, and it's positive.
And what's it been like for you to work under Hodgson? I mean, he's sung your praises, so how's that relationship? How has he helped your game?
Well, this manager has been fantastic since I've come to this football club, because obviously he's the one who brought me in, and he's always been behind me, and obviously last season wasn't a good season, but he and Dougie Freeman and obviously their staff as well, they made sure I stayed here, and obviously I try to pay back, and that's what I try to do, work hard and do my best on the pitch to repay their faith.
What did you like most about the Premier League when you were growing up?
Well, obviously I come from Ghana, so Premier League is the league that everywhere in Africa we watch, and I think growing up, obviously it was the big days of, I think it was Leeds at that time. I was really young, Leeds and Manchester United with Beckham and others. That obviously made me want to come one day, have the dream to come to a Premier League.
For the Fantasy Premier League, you're in around 500,000, half a million fantasy teams. How often has fantasy football been mentioned to you this season?
Obviously, I don't. It's going to be funny, but I'm not. My friends do mention it to me, but I don't. I'm not really into fantasy football, but obviously this season I've heard it a lot from my friends and from my cousins as well, so yeah.
Should more fantasy managers be signing you this season?
Hopefully I'll try to do my best, and obviously hopefully they can sign me, but I know that this season I've been in some few fantasy teams, and hopefully I'll do my best so that it continues like that.
Which other Palace teammates would you suggest that fantasy managers should sign up, and why?
I think Zaha, we should have Christian for the head. Christian, Kouyaté as well.
Jordan Pierre, are you there? Talking to Premier League Productions. Next up on the podcast, something completely different. As I said, it's a man who has scaled the heights of football. Yep, it is Wayne Nyland from H2O Cleaning Service near Abergavenny in South Wales. Him and his team recently cleaned the roof of the Holmesdale Road stand. You might have seen a video on our YouTube. It's got thousands of views. There's a little robot that's cleaning the roof, but the guys are up there as well. And here he is talking to my boss, James Woodroof, all about the roof.
It was just a lovely job to do, really. The results were amazing. I think everybody that popped up there, like the maintenance people and stuff like that, was like, wow, you know. And then I think there was some filming sets or something going on one of the days.
Oh, yeah, there was,
So we had to pull off that day because obviously the noise from the machines, they was picking up on our microphones. So we lost an whole day there, really. And, you know, we obviously thought we might run over, but we didn't. The boys sort of done longer days and we'd done it all on schedule.
I'm imagining guys with like Ghostbuster sort of backpacks on, right? Is that...
You got it?
Right,
oh,
okay.
It looked fantastic. I'll just take you some photos if you want.
I definitely want them, yeah. Can you WhatsApp them to me?
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely, yeah. We got loads of great photos up there. And we also used... Now, the biggest problem I noticed on the initial visit was, you know, as the front of the stand facing the other end, it really drops down. There's a big curve on it. And now obviously I said it was deemed too risky to even rope access that, so we bought a machine on wheels, and then we literally just sat on the top of the stand, clipped on, and wheeled this thing back and forward, and it was amazing. So I'll give you a video of that as well.
I've seen that video. That's the little robot thing. Yeah,
you got it, yeah.
What did you call it? Has it got a name?
Well, I won't tell what we called it during the week. But I couldn't get it going. We covered the old roof then in sort of like an anti-fungicide spray as well, which just soak into tin, you know, the steel, and kill off any like remaining infection spores. When you do jobs like this, you never know what the expectations are, because 30-odd years old, you know, you never know whether it's going to come brilliant or acceptable, but, you know, when we left, that roof looked brand new.
It does, yeah.
And, you know, we always try to do our best, you know, but sometimes you just got to explain to the customer, you know, your expectations. You might get, you know, it ain't never going to be brand new, but we all drove back down to Wales after finish that, saying, wow, you know, that couldn't have been a better outcome, to be honest. But for, yeah, like the views, wow, you know, you're 45 metres up in the air and looking down at Crystal Palace, you know, the pitch, you see all little things going on. It was, and, you know, you've got all of the town, you can see London, because it was real clear. This is a real, real good job, you know, it was high profile for us. We take every job the same, but, you know, when you're working for someone like Crystal Palace, it does give you a little bit of a tingle, you know?
Good on you. So what are you all like? So is it your business, mate? Do you own it?
Yes.
Are you trained ab sailors or what's the crack? Like do you? I know you got guys in to help with rope access, but is that your like unique selling point?
Yeah. We've got rope access trained guys. You know, they're all already trained. They're all already skilled. You know, working at height and anything like that. So we do a lot of eye level, eye reach work. The two boys, well, we all are, but the two young lads are half my age, so they can crack on.
Brilliant. And what would you say is the, like, weirdest job you've done, or, you know, the most impressive next to Palace's Holmesdale roof, would you say?
We've done a massive 36 unit complex in my own town. That was a massive, massive job. That was like 2 months, and that was sort of like a multi-million pound complex. And every unit in that complex was filthy. All the roofs were covered in moss, and their expectations was nothing like that. But what we given was, again, that blew them away, you know. So that was probably that was one of our hardest jobs, because we was there for so long, every day up on a roof, clearing moss.
Better story in the pub, telling your mates that you did Sellers Park.
Yeah. It was like, where you been? I heard you did Sellers Park. I was like, yeah. And they go, yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, what are you doing out there? You know, drinking. I was like, no. He's like, and, you know, they were like, wow, fair play. No, that's a real good one. Like, so, but I would say is up there, and I'm hoping now that it can open up doors, really, for other similar work, really. Because I don't think there's many stadium cleaners, if that makes sense.
Well, I was in the away end at Stamford Bridge when the week after you were up, actually, and I was in the away end looking up at the roof, and it is disgusting. You want to give him a ring, mate?
Yeah, I'll get Chris to do that. Chris Johnson.
Quality.
But yeah, no, you know, that's what I'm hoping, really. And, you know, not just that, because one, we now know what the results we can get, and two, you know, it's just to clean a football club is brilliant on your CV, isn't it? The hospitality of the club as well. We've done other work for Bristol City, Fulham. Not on that scale, but we've gone in there and cleaned seats and stuff. Old Man City, we've been up to as well. You're just not welcome. That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You're just a more... Yeah, and like there's such a family feeling up there. They made us so welcome. The security guards, the receptionist, everyone we spoke to was really, really friendly. And that done half make the job a lot easier, you know, instead of just like, oh, you're a nuisance, hurry up and get out of here. You know, it wasn't one of them jobs where we couldn't wait to finish. It was, you know, and even at the end, Sharon, bless her, gave us some discount in the shop.
So, that's good.
Yeah, for the kids, because, you know, Ashton's got a young boy, he's a Man U fan, but he's got a one for Palace Care. So, you know, and you don't get that really with customers. You just go in, do the job, and they pay you and see you. So I think the old setup, you know, the way Palace U goes work with us, the hospitality, you know, everything really, it was just, and obviously the other thing as well, I think we've offered tickets.
Yeah.
Again, which is fantastic, you know, just for one game. So,
quality.
You know, it's just little things like that, really. You don't get that with customers, to be honest, especially on the scale of someone like your club, really. But I'd say it's the best job we've ever done, to be honest.
Now, you may have thought you were listening to the one show there, but I can confirm this is the official Palace Pod. It is a football podcast, so let's talk football with someone who has nothing to do with football. It's Statman. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no.
Statman. Statman.
Yes, I'm with Statman. This time we are in the beautiful Spironi's restaurant. Isn't it lovely?
Wonderful place to be here, Chris. Wonderful. Yeah, we were just talking beforehand, you've not been here on a match day before, never experienced it.
I've walked through a lot, but no, I've never come and sat down and eaten.
And you said it in a way that kind of was hinting for me to give you some free tickets here for you and your dad.
It would be nice at some point, but it's not going to happen, is it?
No, not at all, mate. Not at all. But yeah, lovely place for those that have experienced it in here. It's a really vibrant place on a match day, yeah.
God, before we get started, sell it to me. Could I afford it? And what do you get?
Could you afford it? You've probably blown all your wages on that Japan trip, I imagine, and the wedding, so no. But it's actually, yeah, really reasonable for what you get. You get all your drinks and all your food included, £275 for the visit of Bournemouth next Tuesday. And Jim Cannon as host.
Is that expat?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, excluding VAT. Oh, so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's not bad. And then you get a ticket in where?
Director's box. So you can sit close to Brighty and Steve.
With their big screens that they watch the game on.
Well, what I found out last week, so I always say on the tour, these are the only people with a screen in front of them that can take in the replays. No, Chris Grierson's managed to engineer himself a screen, hasn't he? Don't you worry about that. Is that what Steve's got? I'll have one of them, please.
Yeah, I've got a screen. And I also can request exactly what I want on it, whether I have just Chuckle the runs. Broadcast footage so I get extra replays.
Yeah.
I think Steve gets that, actually. So he gets replays that don't go on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get the big screen feed and I'm not happy and I have to ask them to change it. But I also have another extra little screen above my monitor, which is the VAR feed from Stockley Park.
And here we go. He's moved the conversation onto VAR as quickly as he could. Liverpool, talk to me about it. Your thoughts, please. The disallowed goal.
Yeah, I thought it was fair.
Okay.
I think if they see that push, they have to give it. The only thing is it's the contradiction of, whoa, they didn't do it in other games, but they're constantly... That's the criticism I accept, is that they're constantly changing their mind on what they're going to intervene on. Because at the start of the season, they maybe wouldn't have for that.
Yeah.
But then they did. But it was a push. So the goal wasn't disallowed because of VAR. The goal was disallowed because Jordan Ayew pushed one of their players.
VAR helped us come to that conclusion. It's just annoying, isn't it? When you get a decision like that and you think last season that would have stood. We're 1-0 up at half-time against Liverpool, them on the ropes. A completely different game, but yeah, I mean, letter of the law. Hodgson had no complaints, did he?
No. And the other thing I would say is, well, we got lucky at Arsenal, and I would have been one of those people that would have wound Roy up by saying that. And then he has pointed out that both of Arsenal's goals, there was a push at the near post which stopped the person from being able to clear it.
Ooh, yeah, well, that hurts then, doesn't it? Mm. Well, then we're due another one the other way, aren't we? It's time we had one. These things even themselves out.
They even themselves out over the season, you know what I mean?
They do. But there was that. Some interesting stuff that came about from it. Our lengthy VAR chat then led to a really controversial moment, stroke half-time. And then our chat about tablets.
Yes, the old iPad or other tablets from other companies.
And this is the first season you're allowed a tablet in the dugout.
Last season was, apparently.
Okay, right.
So you were wrong on that. Yeah, but it was amazing you brought up, because the Liverpool game was the first game that they used one in the dugout.
At Selhurst Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First time Palace actually used, took them a year to get the technology set up.
I thought it was just Liverpool that had them in the dugout. I didn't realise we had them as well.
Yeah, no, we were using it in the dugout,
We just matched them then. We said, you're going to whap your tablet out. We'll have one of them as well.
Yeah,
then.
I think it broke during the first half, but it was fine for the second.
Let's maybe not allude to that fact then, shall we? Well, last time you were saying there was someone running about looking for a charger on 75 minutes.
Maybe it was that.
Someone please need a charger, Dan.
Someone got a charger. What for? A Samsung tablet from 7 years ago. No.
No, funnily enough, we haven't.
Keep on talking, because it's a thin pod this week.
Well, I know.
You've just come off the back. of an interview with the guy that cleaned the roof of the home stuff.
And I'm, no, sorry, I shouldn't laugh. No, sorry, carry on.
If I'd done the order different, I should have done the order. I should have put us first. I think we're the headline act. It's Jordan Ayew.
Right.
Who doesn't enjoy talking.
Tell me your Jordan Ayew story again. When What's he cried that? After scoring and you interviewed him and you said, don't know what you're on about, mate. I didn't cry.
He was like, yeah, you know, just another goal. Yeah. It's just the beginning. Lovely guy, though.
But this was, what was it?
I know he doesn't look very happy, but he's really nice and friendly.
Well, he's banging. Well, I say he's banging form. He could do with another one. But yeah, he's in good form. He keeps scoring for Ghana, doesn't he? Mm. Every time he goes away, he pops a goal in there. Could do with another one here, but.
He's a bit of a legend in Ghana. Well, his whole family is. His dad was a famous player, wasn't he?
I didn't know that, was he?
Yeah. Oh, now I'm going to have to try and remember his name. It's Pele. I think. He played for Marseille. No, different name.
Oh, right.
I don't know why. Some special reason. Yeah, was it something like Abdoulaye Pele? I'm going to look it up. You talk while I Google it.
I'll waffle. You been to Ghana before?
No, been to the Ivory Coast, though.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, I saw that one, actually, the interview with Zaha.
Got very ill. Wasn't nice.
No vegan options out there, I imagine.
Abedi Pele.
Right, Abedi Pele. That was his
Played for Marseille. Absolute legend in the country.
And Ghana international. So then Jordan's gone on to big things, and his brother as well.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, anyway, mate, sorry, tell me about it. You got your interview with Ayew.
Yes.
On the pod.
Yeah, with Premier League Productions.
We've got this.
We've got James Woodroof interviewing a Welsh guy that cleaned the roof of the homestead.
I mean,
it's quite mesmerizing to watch. I don't know if you saw the videos of the little robot.
5 second video. Yeah,
I edited that. That's the kind of thing I can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it did show. You don't edit much, do you?
No, everyone was busy. No, I don't. It was plonking together some foam.
Well, do you know what I think? So apparently that got some of the most views of a video we've had.
No, that's a lie. It got views on an article.
On an article. Sorry. Yeah. But what I will say,
it got around 4,000 views on YouTube.
Well, what was so amazing about it is that when I clicked it and I was watching it, it was so bad, or not bad, I mean, but there wasn't much going on, that I just kept thinking, something's going to happen soon.
Mm.
It's like one of those when you see the caption, watch till the end, you know, you're on a meme or you're on Instagram or something. And I kept thinking, something's going to happen
here. Nothing happened. No one fell off.
Nothing. No one came up. They cleaned a roof, and they did a fantastic job of it, and an interesting robot that they used for it. Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's on the official Palace podcast.
There we go. So that's it. That's IU, the interview, and this.
And the press conference.
And the presser. Right, then you've got yourself a pod right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, can I talk stats for you then?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Put it straight in my veins.
You say as if I'm not here to talk about stats. Can we firstly start with a stat I probably should have brought up last game, but the run has come to an end now. What Premier League record did we break last match?
Should I know this?
If you're good at your job, yeah. If you're bad at your job, no. Just flounder away, mate.
Premier League record. Was it to do with us or Liverpool?
To do with us. Very much to do with us. And a sequence of matches.
Playing against top, no?
No. Basically...
It would be a record. Stupid, Chris.
No. Well, we played 10 matches.
Oh, in London?
Back-to-back in London, yeah. It's the most ever in one city. So, obviously, had Spurs, West Ham, Arsenal, Chelsea away. All those home matches. If you want to whack a League Cup match in there as well, that culture game. It's been 11 straight matches in all competitions.
Does it count?
In London.
Is it a record? I mean,
yeah, it's a record. BBC.
It's not an achievement. You haven't done anything for it. Someone just did the fixtures.
It's a record. What? I give you records and you take them away.
Yeah, but it's just in one city. But how many teams are in other cities? How many other cities have got more than one team?
Well, no, but.
Liverpool. So is it? Manchester.
Yeah. Liverpool, Manchester. What, presently in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Birmingham. Sometimes, but not this time. Not all Villa and Wolves, yeah.
Wolverhampton is a separate. It's not in Birmingham, is it?
Oh, now we're talking counties. Let's not get too technical. Anyway, I've given you a record. You
okay, yeah, it's rubbish.
It's quite impressive, and I think Palace.
It's not impressive. Someone made the fixtures. Someone.
Well, we've just abided to them, and we've done it in a fantastic manner. 10 matches in a row, mate.
Wow.
If you're a fan, though,
I think we should put that on. We should have 10 stars on the badge. To show that we broke that record.
You go too far now, Chris. What I will say is, it's been an article on Main News, so, you know, that's all I will say.
It's been a what?
It's been an article on Main News, cpfc.co.uk.
Okay, well, we haven't won for a while. Yes. We've got to put stuff on there.
We've had to dig something out. But anyway, let's talk then outside London. A nice little stat. So, 5 of the last 6 games outside London, we've won. So you look at our last game in August was at Old Trafford, picked up that 2-1 win. And our only defeat then, the last 6 games outside of London, was to Sheffield United. So I'm slightly optimistic we're back on the road outside of London.
I'm confident. I think we play really well against Liverpool. I think it's going to be a good trip up to Turf Moor.
Are you going?
I am, yeah.
Did you go last?
I think I'm doing all the games in December apart from Watford.
Pressure's on then for the lads, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when they know they're going to be grilled by me afterwards.
It's not that Grierson again, is it? Oh, no, under fire. Can't have that. Let's look on then. Burnley game. Hodgson got a great little record against Burnley, so he's never lost in the Premier League against them. He's faced Burnley 5 times, 4 wins and a draw. So that's looking quite nice for us.
That's exciting.
That is exciting. Our record as a club, decent. We've won last 3 out of 3 against Burnley in the Prem as well. As you alluded to, that 3-1 win at Turf Moor last season, which I thought we played fantastically in. A Wan-Bissaka assist, I remember.
All right. Was it 3?
3-1.
For some reason I thought it was 4. I don't know why.
Leicester we scored.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Both near each other, weren't they?
A game you didn't go to?
Yeah, didn't go to either of them.
It's weird, this, isn't it? Really weird.
I was busy, but no, December, it's all me. Apart from Watford, I'm actually annoyed that I'm missing Watford.
What's the reason?
I'm going to Spain for the weekend, but My mate's got a house out there, so we're going for a little pre-Christmas.
Don't mind about missing weekend match days, do you? Yeah.
No, we've got the staff now. But no, I do like the old trip to Watford. I don't like Watford.
We owe them one. I'm really looking forward to that one this year because beat us three times in a row,
isn't it? It's horrible. They really warm me up. I think I've said it before on the pod. I dislike Watford more than Brighton. Yeah. For me, the Watford one gets my goat.
Is it because, obviously there'll be no Watford fans listening, is it because they're a nothing club?
Yeah, and they're angry. It's all, they hate Zaha. It winds me up.
Playoff final, though, that comes back to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it was just a foul. Like, yeah. So when people say about Brighton, the rivalry, I feel like, there's a rivalry, but it's not as much as it was. Mm. And that came from just some games in the 70s. So why can't Watford be a decent rivalry? Things are in the Premier League at the same time and... Mm. Always quite spicy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And an old man had a go at me in the stand last time.
Oh, I remember this one. Yeah. Talk me through this one again.
Well, it's just
any story you get abused in. I really want to hear the full details.
It was the when Capu did Wilf's. Yeah,
horrible tackle.
So obviously, I'd seen replays of it, and then I'd gone to half time, and I was walking back to my seat in the press box, and a Watford fan sat there, was like, and said,
"When's Zaha going to stop diving?"
And I said, he didn't dive.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
he did. I said, he didn't dive.
Okay.
I said, I've just watched on the TV at half-time, like Souness and Redknapp, they both agree with it. Everyone on TV says it wasn't a dive. It was a bad tackle and it should have been a red card for the other guy. And I said, you're going to be embarrassed with yourself when you get home tonight and watch on TV. Because I'm not doing that good an impression of him. He was like shouting at me and getting angry.
Yeah,
he said, you're
going
to be embarrassed with yourself. Yeah. And my smugness probably wound him up.
I was going to say.
And then he said to me, do yourself a favour and F off. And I thought, you spoke to me.
Yeah.
You started this conversation. Yeah. Idiot. And I really hate them.
Schooled by Chris Grierson at Vicarage Road. In his own backyard as well. That's what's wound him up the most. And you didn't even tell him.
Why is that my back road? My backyard?
His backyard.
His backyard, yeah. I thought he meant me. I was like, what? I'm not from Watford.
No, of course not. But no, that must have hurt then. No, I'm with you. I think we very much owe them one this season. They have not let that playoff final go, have they? And then we had that FA Cup semi. So the big games, we just did them, haven't they? And they've not looked back, have they? But they did. They didn't win that cup game against us last year, which hurt.
Yeah. I've just noticed my phone. It's funny in my life these days. I can just see a message just come through from Darren Ambrose. Hey, mate, did you get the invoice? Who would have thought when I was cheering him on the terraces that he'd be chasing me for payment for his services?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to do the Bournemouth bike challenge. What is it? Bike to Bournemouth. And he... And he asked, how far is it? I said, funnily enough, mate, it's from Sellers Park to Bournemouth. It's quite a long way. 116 miles, I think it is. Are you going to be doing it?
No, but we are covering it.
Good.
One of our cameramen is doing the bike ride, so we'll probably put a GoPro on him.
Yeah.
But if Darren does it, we'll get him to present, because he's a presenter now.
He is. You could say he's the best at the club.
You could.
We are a hybrid for creating media talent, aren't we? Apart from our very own. But, you know, we're looking good.
Yeah.
We're looking good there in that department. Let me roll on, shall I? A few stats, a few more Burnley stats. So the one that I'm really worried about...
And I've just noticed here, you've left your Opta facts sheet behind. And this is, I presume this comes from an email from the famous Dan.
No, the famous Dan's off today. I just got a bounce back when I chased him some stats.
Okay, so where are these come from?
These are my own, mate.
You've typed them up, and you don't have access to your own printer, so you've sent them to the PA, to the director. I can see there. You've sent her an email, and she's printed that out for you.
Taking out the whole magic of pod here. You're not supposed to see what's in front of me. Let me just get to the shots section of this, though. Burnley taking long shots. We need to be wary. So they've actually scored the fourth most goals outside the box of any Premier League team this season. And what worries me is that they've had the fewest shots from distance.
Wow, that means... What does that mean?
That means that...
They're very accurate with their long shots.
Accurate. So, on average, you're looking about one in every 10 long-range shot going in, which is pretty good.
That is very good.
Yeah. So, that worries me. annoys me a bit. You look, also, they've also got a striker bang in form in Chris Woods. He's scored 6 in his last 6 in the Premier League. And this one is no surprise, but I'll say it nonetheless. They've had the least passes and hit the most long balls of any team this season. So we know what we're going to get, aren't we? Physicality, long-range shots. It's going to be a fight. In terms of records at Turf Moor, this one jumps out a bit. There hasn't been a draw there for the last 13 league matches. So we do look like we're destined for a result either way. And let's have one more just on Zaha. Obviously picked up his first goal of the season, last game. Took it really well. I don't know about you. I've had a few fans or a few people chatting saying, oh, he's not started the season well, has he? You know, all this going on. But in actual fact, in terms of, I know goals and assists are the crucial thing, picked up his first goal. He has had the most successful dribbles than any other player in the Premier League this season with 58. So he is bang on confidence at the moment. So hopefully the goals come now.
Yes. Yeah, he looked good. I mean, everyone looked good, didn't they, in the last game?
Yeah.
Cheku's passing was incredible.
Yeah.
Andros Townsend looked great from the very start. That was one of those games where, because we were great right from the beginning, the crowd really got going, and I think that helped. It was like,
just set pieces. I keep getting undone by set pieces, which worries me. What were you smiling for?
I am just... Oh, yeah, I think we're all right, aren't we?
We'll be all right.
Okay. I don't know, set piece is one of those weird ones where, like Roy said in the press conference, yeah, it happened, but it all happened kind of in one game against Arsenal, didn't it? But you look at it over the course of a season. He says if you look at it over the course of a season, then that's when you want to be worried, not in a few games. Because like, how many times have set pieces come in before and the team have had a chance but haven't scored, but that doesn't count? Or how many times have we come close? I don't know. I just found it weird before when we had Keith Millen as assistant and he was in charge of set pieces and we were brilliant. And then the next season, he was still in charge of set pieces and we went for a phase where we couldn't score from one and started conceding loads and everyone said, what's changed? And nothing had changed. Just sometimes it just happens.
You get a bit of luck, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know, but maybe, so obviously Joel Ward is out injured for a bit. So Martin Kelly, but then that's in a way, that's an extra centre back at set pieces with Martin Kelly because he defends well.
We know there's some long balls coming in. So, yeah.
What? We are stringing this out, aren't we?
We are, mate.
18 minutes.
18 minutes. Shall we take that?
Quite short for us now.
Do you want a couple more stats?
Have you got more stats? Go on.
I have. So, just on Burnley at Turf Moor, really. They are in pretty good form there. Tough team to beat. They've lost just 2 of their last 11 home league matches at Turf Moor. And this stat, I don't like this stat, so I don't know why I'm going to give it, but I will nonetheless, because do you know what? We say nothing but the truth on this pod.
Yeah.
Burnley have kept the second most clean sheets this season, and then when you couple that with the fact that we've scored the second least goals this season, that worries me.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. Can I just say their fans are horrible as well, Burnley.
My last boss was a Burnley fan, lovely guy, but I tend to agree with that.
I'm talking about the ones in the stadium. One time when I was there, some kids were like, it was after the game, Burnley had won. Hey mate, no, what am I doing, Scouse? I won't do the accent. I just go, hey mate, and he must have been like 9 or 10. I was like. And he kind of smiled, and I went, and walked over, because I thought he was going to say something. And then he just, both hands, stuck his fingers up at me, called me a horrible name.
What is it with you getting targeted? They know who you are, don't they? Well, that's that Grierson. Get him, he's walking pitch side.
You said it's a man.
Oh, is it? Yeah, that's the man. Or it's just because you're in your full palace.
Yeah, that would be why.
Mainly that. Two things that are about Turf Moor I love and that I hate. The cricket club, amazing for drinks. And I'm sure everyone knows
I've walked
that.
Past that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for an away fan, you want to go in there. They
Is
welcome
it James
you.
Anderson's cricket club, that one?
I don't know.
I think it
that.
Might be.
Right opposite the ground.
Yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
Welcome away fans with open arms. Really good, cheap drinks, good atmosphere. If you've been to Turf Moor away, you'll definitely be going there, I'm sure. Worst bit, though, the stadium, okay? Looking at the stands, that one behind the goal that doesn't line up. it goes off the side of the pitch. So if you're looking at the pitch there, oh, I mean, I don't know what I'm saying, it's the pod won't be able to hear, but the stand goes off to the side. It's like they need to extend it one way or shorten the other one. Have a look when you're there. Really annoys me.
That's going to really annoy me
behind
now.
Behind the goal. It's a stand behind the goal, not the one that your away fans are in. So you're looking at it. It's opposite you when you're in the away end.
Okay, and me from the press box and me on my left. Lovely view from the press box across the hills, though.
Lovely. Yeah, it does feel like you really escape there. It's like a weekend away in the mountains, isn't it?
Reminds me of the slope at Newcastle. That annoys me. I've probably talked about that before on the pod as well.
Well, I had a great little story about
that. I should save that for the next one, because we've got Newcastle away coming up, haven't we?
Oh, I want to say, guy from the tickets, story about St James Park. So I will say it. It's a little a trick that he found. He's got a flag that he brings to every game. Ryan Joy, this is, from the ticket office. And if you've been to St James Park, I don't know, you've been in the away end or just the press for you?
Just press.
So you've never had to do the climb, the famous climb?
No, I've hurt my neck looking up at the away fans and feeling sorry for them from the dugout, but yeah.
That was enough. Doing it. So I did it a few years back. Needed my inhaler. No word of a lie. It was because when you get up there, there's not much oxygen either. So I'm struggling. Ryan Joy brings this lad from the ticket office, brings a flag everywhere. Steward comes up to him and goes, "Excuse me, mate, you can't take that flag up there. You can't walk up the stairs with that. It's a health and safety hazard in case people trip on it." He said, "Well, what am I going to do there?" He said, "You'll be taking the lift." He went, "Brilliant. I'll be taking this flag every single time I come here now." So that's what you need to do. Bring a flag with you.
Wow. Yeah. Bring a flag, everyone, and remind us to talk about that next time.
Yep.
You're all out of stats.
I'm all out of stats, mate.
All right.
Can I have your prediction?
You can. I think we're going to win.
Of course. Funny that. You're on the Palace pod. The Palace guy, he says you're going to win.
But I don't think we're going to concede.
Ooh.
I think we're going to win 2-0.
Ooh. You're very confident with that. Yeah. So we're going to keep Chris Woods out.
Yeah. Easy.
And these long-range shots.
Yeah. What's training this week? We look good.
Nice. I like the positivity.
Thank you.
Okay, right.
What are you thinking?
I love to go by the stats. I like to read them.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we'll get an early goal, a long-range shot. I don't think we'll be settled. And we'll get a long-range shot that just slips through, 1-0 down. Then I think we'll push hard, push back, and get... And I think we'll break the sequence of 13 straight victories for one team or the other. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and back to me. Statman there, as chirpy as always. And now let's finish off the podcast with the same old questions. Here's Roy's press conference.
Well, Roy, nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Could you just give us an injury update as to how the squad is doing at this moment in time? I know you've had a few players playing under 23s and some recovering from injuries.
So. Yeah, no, we've recovered well. It's only, of course, Joel Ward who was taken off, and his injury, I'm afraid, is going to keep him out for a number of weeks, but he's the only one at the moment.
And how is Mamadou as well? I saw that
he's fine. So he's been fine for a while, Mamadou. I mean, of course, it's last 2 weeks he's been training, so it's just a question of, you know, getting back, if you like, to the sort of full fitness level that he wants to achieve. And to do that, of course, he's got to play some matches.
You, as an experienced manager, you've seen many Decembers in the Premier League and across the world. Does minute management kind of come into your kind of mindset at this stage with so many games happening in around the Christmas period?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, it's a time when your squad is really tested out, and you really need everybody in good form, in good physical condition, and in good mental condition, because it's unrealistic, I think, to expect 11 players to carry out every 95 minutes that you're going to play. So it's very important that everyone's ready, everyone's anxious to get in and play, and anxious to do well when they get their chance.
How would you kind of assess your last few games? I mean, you started off so fantastic in the beginning of the season. This has been a mixed sort of form in the last five games or so, but how would you assess it as the manager?
Well, it depends depends whether you're going to confuse form with results. I don't know that we're in mixed form. Mm-hmm. Our form hasn't particularly dipped from the Man City game through to the Liverpool game. We've had five very tough fixtures. I don't think that we've performed at all badly in any of them, in actual fact. But of course, because we've been playing the top sides, we haven't been able, unfortunately, to get the points. But we've been close to doing so on a lot of occasions. So I personally would not... if you like, equate is probably a better word than confuse, equate form and results. I don't think our form is bad, but our results, of course, have been bad. But we feared that we might be in for that type of period when we looked at our fixture list and we saw that we were playing the top five teams in the country one after the other.
How do you kind of equate going into this game? Obviously, you're up against Burnley, probably a team with a similar sort of level to yourself, but you know, well equipped, that Sean Dash is going to have his team ready.
Absolutely. I mean, but that's, as we say here virtually every week, there's no game really that you can look forward to and think that we have a clear advantage in this game, and this is a game that, you know, we can accept the role, if you like, of favourites to win, because the league is that competitive and every team that we play has got a great chance of beating us, but we feel we've got a chance of beating them. Now, we weren't able to do that against these last five, but before that we'd held our own quite well and got some points in the bag, and we've got to try and make certain that we don't allow the fact that playing the top five one after each other and not taking a large number of points is going to dent our confidence in terms of the games we've got going forward. But perhaps more importantly of all, we mustn't ourselves equate form and results. We have to accept that we've lost, but without playing badly, and a lot of the things we've done have been quite good, and if we can keep that going, we've got every chance to get results in the games we have coming up.
So many teams kind of equate Burnley with that sort of structure, rigid, you know what you're kind of getting, two very strong strikers as well. What do you kind of expect from them going into this sort
of game? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a structure to your team. There's nothing wrong with having a style of play which gets the best out of them. There's nothing wrong with getting results and a lot of success with it, as Sean Dyche has done with his Burnley team. So we have every respect for them. We know they are a difficult nut to crack at all times. And we have to be ready, of course, for the type of game it's going to be. It won't be a similar game to the Man City's and the Liverpool's, Arsenal's and Chelsea's. It won't be a game exactly like that. It'll be a different game, but at the same time it will be an equally difficult game, in my opinion, because Burnley, they do know exactly what they're doing. They work very hard at it, they do it very well, and they make certain that your defence is put severely to the test. And as far as I can see, there's nothing wrong with that. It's up to us to try and deal with it, and congratulate them on getting a team capable of doing it.
Winning in the Premier League is so hard, naturally, but winning away from home is even harder. Now, I'm going to give you a stat about Palace.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah, of course. Right. You've actually won five of your last games outside of London, which means when you're on your travels, what is so special about when you kind of get the boys together and you decide you're going to do an away day?
No, it's it's an interesting statistic, and I'm pleased to hear it, but I'm afraid I don't have that magic formula that, well, when we play away from home, this is what we do. We prepare really for all of our games in a similar way, making certain that the players are aware of the challenges they're going to face with the next opponent, where we're going to be severely tested and where we think we can possibly test them. And then we work at that during the week, alongside, of course, our basic playing principles, which we work on all the time. So really nothing actually changes in that respect. But of course we do have players in our team that, if they're given time and space, are capable of using it and capable of, you know, being quite dangerous opponents. Sometimes when you play at home, you don't get given that time and space. Away from home with the opposing team, feeling the onus on them to attack and go forward. Maybe there are more spaces sometimes for our players, and we do have pace in the team and we do have skill in the team. So that's the only sort of simple theory I can think of which has given us those away results. But we also have a degree of resilience, which is very important, and that's important both home and away. But if you do have a resilient squad, sometimes away from home that becomes more obvious to the eye.
Last couple for me, Roy, it's just you're a forward-thinking manager. You always have had to think forward, I guess, as in management anyway. With January just being around the corner, is there any sort of conversations you've had now with the owners about where areas you want to strengthen?
Oh, that's a continual process, really. It doesn't just wait for a month or two or a week or two before a transfer window comes along. There was many, many discussions before the last transfer window, and they spill over really into, well, what we didn't manage to achieve in the last one, can we achieve it in the next one? We are very aware of where there are gaps, if you like, in our squad that we need to either fill or to make certain that we get better cover, because there are areas of our team where the cover is very, very good. So we're fully aware of that. But of course, you never know in a transfer market what's going to happen, what's going to come your way, And of course, you never really know as a manager how much money the club is going to be able to release for you to maybe fulfil some of your wishes or some of your hopes. But it's certainly, I can assure all of our fans that conversations are constantly taking place and work is constantly going on. But we'll have to wait and see when January comes around, you know, what's there and what we can actually buy.
Rian Brewster is one of those names that's been linked. Who? Rian Brewster. Klopp's come out and turned around and said he's thinking about in terms of an option for a loan.
Yeah.
No forwards you've been linked with beforehand. Hmm. Would that be an option you'd viably consider?
Well, he's a good player, there's no doubt about that. The only thing that would concern me there is that I don't know quite how many guaranteed games, so if I was going to speak to Jurgen and he was going to talk to me about I want Rian Brewster to go out on loan and play some matches, I'm not 100% certain I could guarantee him that he would be the first name on the team sheet. He would be in competition with the three players we already have, who are experienced players and quality players. So I'm not 100% certain that that will do anything other than be useful for us in terms of having another player who could come in from time to time and certainly help us out. But if I was Jurgen Klopp and Rian Brewster, I think I'd want to be going somewhere where I was the first name on the team sheet and I could guarantee that between January and May I'd be playing 20 matches.
And my last one is just a personal one. Obviously, a lot of us enjoy your company week in, week out. I know there was contract
Very
talks.
Very few people do these
I know there was contract talks at the beginning of the season. I know you're always thinking and you always take your time with it, but is there any update in terms of your contract situation?
No, not really. I mean, Steve Parish has spoken to me and has indicated that he would be keen for me to stay for another year. I've told him there's no problem with that as far as I'm concerned, but that's as far as we've got so far. So I don't know whether he's had a change of heart or whether it takes a long while to get contracts typed out. I've got no idea, but that's where we are. But he knows that if the club really want me to stay, I'm ready to do so. But I'm also ready to move on if that's what they prefer.
Thank you so much, Roy.
My pleasure.
Okay, Siobhan from Five Live.
Hi, Roy. Siobhan from Beats Arena. Nice to meet you. I just wanted to ask you a bit about Wilfred Zaha. Obviously, he got his first goal of the season last weekend. How's he been this week? Was it a weight off his shoulders?
I don't know. I haven't really had that feeling that he's playing and training with a weight on his shoulders. I don't really, can't honestly say that I think that's something that I've recognised. I mean, his training's been good. His training's been good for a while now, and also he's given some good performances recently. So I was really pleased to see him play so well against Liverpool, and to cap that good performance with a goal, which could so easily have been a goal which got us a well-deserved point from the game. So I'm hoping that if he has been feeling a weight in his shoulders, that will have lifted. But it's certainly not a weight that we've added to. If it's any weight at all on his shoulders, it would have been a weight that he put there by himself, because we know that he's going to score goals for us. We know he's going to make goals for us. And our aim always is to keep him in the right physical and mental shape to be Wilf Sahar. And I think that's the case really, you know, for me it's Wilf Sahar, but any manager you talk to will have a player, and if he's lucky, maybe four or five players are like that in the squad where he knows that this player could be one that can make a difference to us winning and losing the game. And that's where we find ourselves with Wilf, and I'm glad that he's in good form and I'm glad that he scored his goal, because I think it will lead to many more now.
Also, you mentioned about you obviously had five tough fixtures. Now you've got five fixtures in the build-up to Christmas, which on paper look a bit less difficult. How would you assess them in terms of getting points to move up the table?
Every game you play has got to be a potential game for points, and unfortunately you don't play on paper and you don't organise and prepare your team with magnets on a magnetic board. You know, it's about what the 11 individuals who are selected, the human beings, the football players, what they can do on the day against the opponent that you're facing. Five tough fixtures will be replaced by five other tough fixtures. But of course there is a gap, and everyone realises that you know, the quality that the top five teams have in their team at the moment and their ability really to win even close matches with, you know, some of the quality performers that they possess. is not something which is open to the whole 20 teams in the league. So I'm just hoping now that we will continue the form and the results that we got before these five fixtures, where I think we had 14 points from 8 games, which was a very good return. We've got to try and get back to that level of points return if we want to have a good season. But there's no easy way of doing that, and I certainly am not the one saying and want to be disassociated with, we've had our tough fixtures, now we've got games that are winnable. I thought the previous five were winnable. It's just that unfortunately the opponents turned out to be just about good enough to prevent us from winning. And I know that the games coming up, they're winnable too, but they're only winnable if we produce the best of our performances. And we certainly won't be in any way underestimating the quality of our opponents.